Like you turn to the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verses 10 through 18, to be our text this morning, talk about the whole armor of God. I was looking through during Sunday school into the back of the hymnal here where it has a scriptural index of certain songs that might go with the verses I'm doing tonight, or this morning, and that song Pete just led was one of the verses, songs that go with the message, or goes with the verse we're going to read. The whole armor of God, I'll read the passage first, then we'll have some comments on that. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Now we all know we could have many sermons on this passage here, probably one each one. We want to do kind of a survey this morning. People sometimes, all through history I think, have thought of war as sometimes glamorous, until perhaps they or someone they know, a friend or family, becomes a casualty of that war. Same is true of the spiritual arena. We need to know that we're living in a spiritual warfare. We know if we were in a physical warfare, we could see our enemy. Many years ago in history, when they had battles between different countries or maybe different kings, in those days there, they come out to a big field perhaps. Over here is the one side, here's the other side. They see who their enemy is. They can fight them. We know today it's not that easy today. Even physically, sometimes we can't see our enemy. But here, this is the spiritual realm here, there is an enemy out there. And make no mistake, whether we're aware of it, I think many of us are not aware of it. Perhaps at all are, if we are aware of it, not as much as we should be aware of what the battle is out there. We're in a real spiritual battle between two opposing kingdoms. The Lord has his kingdom, which you're a part of. And Satan has a kingdom also, which he is maybe a de facto leader, but he's there influencing people, influencing nations, influencing individuals, governments, and sadly sometimes some Christians. Many times in Paul's writing, he used military imagery, and he's describing spiritual things. One reason was that the area that he was living in there in Israel, Middle East, was part of the Roman Empire. The Romans were the most powerful empire at that time, probably the most powerful one up to that time also. They ruled all the way from, well maybe later in their history, but all the way from part of Great Britain, England. They ruled down in Northern Africa, ruled over into Greece, up into what's now France, perhaps had some influence in other countries, the Middle East, and down in that way there. So they were a very powerful country. And we know that everyone in that empire, I'm sure, did not like being part of that empire. They had many conquered countries in there. Many areas of the empire were more violent or volatile than others. Some were more peaceful. The ones who were peaceful kind of were called a colony, like Philippi was a colony where they basically put maybe retired soldiers or very faithful people who were loyal to the emperor in that city, or that area, did not need as much security there. But Israel was not a peaceful area in many ways, so there were a lot of soldiers there, a lot of soldiers of the Middle East over there, and people were used to seeing these soldiers around, perhaps near their barracks, perhaps out training, perhaps out rounding up maybe people they thought were against them. So they knew what it was to have soldiers around, knew what it was to have military around. So Paul used illustrations in this way to show that, use that, and made spiritual application to these military things. In this passage here we read this morning here in Ephesians 6, we have basically Paul using military terms to describe spiritual things. He provides believers with a defense course in this passage. He talks about that, talk about Jesus as our truth. He's our righteousness. He's our peace. He's our object of our faith. The source of our salvation is also the living Word of God. Ephesians 6:10 talks about take up the whole armor of God, or really verse 11. But verse 10 says, finally, he's concluding what he talked about earlier in this book. He's come to conclusion here, and he's saying that we're to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. That song Pete led about stand up, stand up for Jesus. Shows that we can be strong in the power of the Lord. Now we're strong because of who he is, not because of who we are. But he says there that what we're to do is put on the whole armor of God. But then he tells us why there, also verse 11, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So Paul used this phrase here, and he takes the Roman soldiers' armor. Now remember, the Roman government would provide their soldiers with everything they needed. They didn't lack anything. Now, it doesn't mean they used it. They got all the time rightly, but they did were provided. They gave them everything they needed, weapons they needed to be on the offensive, what they needed to be on the defense. Most of these here are defensive weapons, but there are some ones on offense here also. They were equipped for service to Caesar. They were the best fighting force in the world at that time. So how much more should we be as children of God equipped for service also? Be strong in the Lord. He reminds us that we're not fighting against somebody we can see. He talks about there in verse 12 about things that we can't see, we can't understand. I'm not sure we'll ever understand it completely down here in this life. There's a spiritual battle going on maybe around us. Remember an Old Testament story about, I think, Elisha and his servant were in a city that was being besieged by the Assyrians. And they were surrounded, outnumbered, no hope for them to be saved or even live. And the servant was very unhappy, very scared, and Elisha said, be calm, the Lord will take care of us. But then Elisha asked the Lord, prayed the Lord to open this servant's eyes, he could really see what's going on. And when his eyes were open, he could see it on the hillside, spiritual beings, perhaps angels, outnumbering those who were there to battle them. And the next morning, those ones that were to battle them were all gone. Those he did, I think, were all gone. So God's power is there. We must understand that we cannot win this battle by ourselves. We do stand up for Jesus. We stand up not in our own strength, but in his strength. And we must know that it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that we're able to win this battle. Because it says in the Word of God, greater is he is in you, he's in the world. Like sometimes we fail to give maybe the devil his due at a certain level. He's a defeated being, but he's still more powerful than we are. Now, by ourselves, we cannot ever stand with him against him, but it says we can stand against him with the Lord's help, trusting on his salvation, trusting on his giving us his Holy Spirit to dwell in us, to help us live this Christian life. So verses 14 through 17, basically speaking about defensive weapons that we can protect ourselves. In the end of verse 17, we see more about an offensive weapon. talks about things that we are familiar with, or at least they were familiar with in those days there. A belt of truth there in verse 14. Now this soldier, when he had that belt on, it was the foundation of his armor. It held his sword and his breastplate. Says here in that verse there that the belt there with truth. The contrast there is that the devil is not a one of truth. Like John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. Here it says that we're to take up the belt and gird our waist with truth. Our Lord himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by me. So we can take our back to the bank that he is the one who has truth, and we want to live in the truth. We want to live in it, walk in it, have it guide our lives and everything. We have the truth here in this book. It doesn't mean that we have it, that we live by it. Like Mark said in Sunday school, we need to grow each day, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord every day of our life, realizing that perhaps we're better off spiritually than we were became a Christian. We also can walk that higher plane toward more faithfulness. Talks about that the Word of God is very powerful. The Roman soldier was equipped for service by his government. And we're to be equipped also. Paul told Timothy, all scripture given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's in 1 Timothy 3:16-17. It says every man, but it means more man here, it means more generic, it means everybody. Every Christian needs to be equipped to the Lord, and the Word of God will do that for us if we'll let it. Just as the Lord is not forced to become a Christian, he is not forced to stay a Christian. He gives us many resources to use. We have the Word of God to read, to study, and so on. We have prayer to him. We have fellow believers here who can encourage each other and can help each other in their walk with the Lord. We have to want to be equipped. We're willing to do that, not only read God's Word, study it, meditate upon it, tell us about it. We will grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and be able to encourage each other in the Lord's army. The second point here is the breastplate of righteousness there in verse 14 also. The breastplate guarded a pretty good amount of the soldier's body. It guarded his heart, physical heart. In a similar way, righteousness here protects the spiritual life of the believer. Christ is our righteousness. It's only found in him, in the heart. Many times when it says the heart in the Word of God, it means the mind, because in the mind we think. We have to want to serve the Lord. This Roman soldier had that sword. It was a real big sword, went maybe here to here, down to here, and protect him. But if he didn't have that shield with him or anything with him, he'd be in danger. So it's trying to say that if we don't trust in the righteousness of Christ in our life, then we'll be in danger also spiritually. He talked there in verse 15 about the feet. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Well, I'm told the Roman soldier had a heavy armored sandal. It helped him with traction. They did a lot of walking in those days. I'm sure some people rode horses, maybe, or animals. But I expect when they had a big legion going down the battle, the majority were not in on horses. The majority were walkers. So they needed the right kind of shoe, the right kind of footwear to wear. And it gave them security in the heat of battle. So our peace with God through Christ gives us security in the face of Satan's accusation, because he's up there accusing us. One word means Satan is the accuser of the brethren. We need to be prepared, as that soldier was prepared to maybe march a long time or a long way, a in a short time for an important purpose. We need to be prepared also to be ready for the Lord. Talks about the shield of faith there in verse 16, a shield there, same way again. That shield, the shield is there to protect him from firing arrows of the enemy. We understand the enemy would put their arrows, put them in some kind of solution to make a flame, fire. They'd fire those arrows up there, and they would hope that one of them would get past the shield. Maybe the man didn't have his shield. We understand they stood together a lot, maybe here, and here, had the shields. There was no break between them. But maybe one man didn't stand near his partner as he should have stood, and that arrow could have came through and killed him. Read a story about in mythology about the man named Achilles. He had everything, his whole body was covered, that one heel was not. That's not a shield, but he didn't have himself covered all the way either, where it cost him his life. So the soldier didn't have his shield up or out or where it should be, right height, whatever. He'd have a danger of being killed. So we need to make sure that we have our shields up. Our faith in God's promises will deflect and extinguish the lies of Satan. He is our enemy. There in verse 17, it talks about the helmet of salvation. So the armored helmet the soldier wore protected his head. Inside his head, his brain, so it protects part of his vital organs, a very vital organ. And we know ourselves today, the primary spiritual battlefield for us is in our minds. Spiritual warfare, the Christian's mind. We look around, even our day-to-day walk for the Lord, we see things that we can't avoid seeing. Doesn't mean we agree with it. We go down the highway and see billboards or see signs on certain establishments or certain things. We see things going on we don't agree with spiritually, and we often stand against that. Somehow we can't avoid seeing these things, but how we react after we see them is where the thing is. The Word of God doesn't say that the temptation is a sin, but it says to yield to it is a sin. We sing a song, yield not to temptation. So the Lord is our strength. This helmet of salvation will help us and give us assurance of our salvation. The Word of God says we can know right now that we're saved. It doesn't mean we can't lose our salvation, but we can know right now. We don't have to wait till we get to heaven or get to what people call a judgment day or to anything like that. We don't have to wait till we say, have I done enough for the Lord? We can know right now that we're saved. Now that should motivate us to want to do more for the Lord, not to do more in the idea that if I do more, he has to let me in, but to do more because of who he is and what he's done for us, is doing, will do for us. We have the sword of the Spirit here in verse 17. This is really the only offensive weapon that we have in this passage. For the Christian, it's the Word of God. For that soldier, it was just maybe his main piece of armor, military use. Some may have had spears, but they had swords, hand-to-hand combat. So we know that we have the Word of God as our sword. The Bible as a whole is an armory from which we can select our swords for specific battles. We know when Jesus was led in the wilderness after his baptism in Matthew 4, Satan came to him in his maybe lowest physical stage. He had to ate for 40 days, 40 nights. And he kept asking questions or giving. Satan really gave him a way out that humans might take. If he would know what Satan asked him to do, he would have had to follow Satan. We know he didn't do that. And we know we do know that the way he combated Satan there, he said, it is written. Satan said one thing, and Satan sometimes has a way he kind of misuses scripture, maybe misquotes scripture, like some of the cults today might put a comma in the wrong place or put a word in the wrong place and minimize who Christ is. Satan does the same thing. Every time he says something, and what Satan said, often he could offer it, he could give it to him. Says he's the prince of this world. But Jesus said, it is written, don't do this, or so on. So the importance of the word of God is very important there. Our spiritual armor is to be used in war that's already been won. The battle's going on now, but Satan's a defeated enemy. He defeated at the cross when Jesus overcame death and rose from the dead. I read a story here, I found some notes here, that Napoleon Bonaparte lived probably about 1765, 1821, I'm saying something like that. He was Emperor of France. He conquered a lot of Europe. A lot of went over into Africa and conquered a little bit there. The Middle East he conquered. But it says as he attempted to conquer the kingdoms of the world, he spread out a map on a table, pointed to a specific place, and said to his lieutenants, this is a quote, "Sirs, if it wasn't for that red spot there, I could conquer the world," end quote. Now the red spot was the British Isles, the very nation that met Napoleon at Waterloo in Belgium and defeated him there. So the notes I found said there's no doubt that when Satan talks with his minions about conquering the world, he might say to them something like, the red hilltop of Calvary where Christ's blood was spilled was where he lost the battle. But the red spot that makes the difference in our, it is the red spot that he mentioned, might have mentioned there, that makes a difference in our spiritual battle. We do not need to live in fear of the devil. We need only to enter the spiritual battle which we've been called, aware of its reality, and then armed with the truth that the ultimate victory against Satan has already been achieved. Therefore, we might say, as the Word of God says, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Hymn writer in our hymn book, the man was named Sabine Baring Gould. He penned these famous words, "Onward, Christian soldiers, marching on to war, as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward into battle with his banners go." He wrote that song. We understand the history of the song was, he was a parish priest in the Church of England, the Anglican Church, back in those days there. He was in a small town, I think, and he wanted to help these unfortunate, maybe orphans or kids who maybe live on the wrong side of the tracks, you might say. And he wanted to take them to a bigger church in a nearby town that had more to offer for them. That church there didn't want anything to do with them because of their station in life. So it says what he would do, he went out and built this big old tall pole across the top. And he would lead these kids down to where his place was, teach them about Jesus. That's the onward. But it says a key verse here that says, Christ the royal master leads against the foe, forward in the battle. So he was leading. So Jesus is leading us in the battle. So the whole armor of God is very important. I'll close with back in Joshua, when he became the ruler of the Jewish people after Moses' death. They came out of Egypt. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, wandering. They finally were getting ready to cross the Jordan. And they were on the east side at that time. And God commissioned Joshua. He told him that you were to be strong, have great courage, be faithful, know the Word of God, read the Word of God, study it, meditate it, and tell everybody here about the Word of God. So if we use the Word of God and trust in the Word of God because of who inspired it, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, and are willing to be equipped of God for greater service, He will do that for us. He's also given us each other here, this place here, and other places, to encourage us in our walk with the Lord. We have a song of invitation. If you have any need, let's stand, Pete.